Good afternoon. Many of you have already given me words of encouragement this morning after the lesson, and I greatly appreciate that. I want to thank the elders once again for the opportunity to study with you this week as the young people kick off their VBS this evening. It's always enjoyable to see young minds learning from the Word of God and coming in and answering questions. And so we hope that our series of studies this week will be beneficial to all. And thank you again for the encouragement. I hope you've had a good afternoon. And it's a great opportunity to come together again to worship God. Before the lesson, Perry and Warren were asking me, can I preach for about 55 minutes? And I thought, wow, that's, you know, you're asking for trouble when you ask when you tell a preacher he's got about an hour to preach, you know. So that's like asking Ken Parker, can you shoot a gun? I mean, what's the answer to that question? It's pretty obvious. So yes, we can certainly fill our hour with the Word of God. If I were to ask you the question, who is the wisest man in the Bible, apart from Jesus, of course, we always answer Solomon. And our young people are studying this evening King Solomon. They're studying different kings this week, leading up to Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord willing, on Thursday night. So we know Solomon to be the second king over the United Kingdom. And he, like Saul and David, the third king, reigning for 40 years. And we know that he is described in Scripture as a wise king because his request of God, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, his request for wisdom and understanding. This evening, the particular approach that I would like to take in a very broad subject of Solomon in 40 years, a number of things that we could talk about, and we will be surveying his life. The specific approach I'd like to take in this very broad topic, not only of Solomon, but of the subject of prayer, is to narrow it down and talk a little bit this evening about what do we ask for when we pray to God? What do we ask Him for? In the subject of prayer, there is the how of prayer, our attitude and our mannerisms and our motives, praying according to God's will, things like that. There is the when of prayer, pray without ceasing. We can pray to God a number of different places. Jonah prayed in the belly of a great fish. Jesus was up on a mountaintop. There are a number of places where we can pray, so the where of prayer. But this evening, we're going to focus in on the what. What do you and I ask for when we petition God? I want you to have in your mind, or if you're making notes, jot down one or two or three things that you would like to ask God for right now. And it's not a trick question. It's to have in our mind something that we would ask God for, and then we're going to see how that works itself out in our life. This evening, I want us to consider seven different things that Solomon did with regard to this request of his, and these seven different areas of his life that were affected by his request. When you and I ask God for something, it's going to carry itself out in different ways in our life. And we're going to see that this evening with regard to Solomon. So in a very broad topic of Solomon himself and the subject of prayer, we're going to narrow that down to what we ask for and how that affects our life on a day-to-day basis. You may have noticed already that in my preaching, I try to be very practical. I try to bring it down to home. What is going on in culture today? What is going on in our life today? And of course, we will try to do that very much throughout this week. what did Solomon ask for? And so we're going to focus this evening on the 1 Kings passage. The parallel account is in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 through 9, and you can see that on your own time. Solomon, ruling for about 40 years before the kingdom divides, he's known for this great prayer and this great request. Let's see how that unfolded in his life. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3 then, and let's begin our reading in verse 4. And again, we know what he asked for. We know that it involved wisdom. Let's see how that unfolded in his life. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, Jehovah appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great loving kindness, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee." And that's a lesson in itself. Let's all walk that way with God each day. Truth, righteousness, and uprightness. "And thou hast kept for him this great loving kindness that thou hast given his son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Jehovah my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this thy great people?" I want to begin this evening noticing what Solomon asked for. He asked, of course, as we know, for wisdom and understanding to judge the people of God. You notice his humility. "I am but a child." You also notice that Israel belongs to God. "Thy servant is in the midst of thy people." And so as a humble individual, he recognizes this great task of serving God's people. And what does he ask for? He asked for an understanding heart. The first of the seven principles this evening that I would like us to consider is the fact that Solomon asked for something that was spiritual in nature. He asked for an understanding heart. He asked for something that would be inside of him, governing him. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking for outward physical things. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, give us this day our daily bread. There are physical things, food, shelter, and clothing that we can and should ask for. But I would suggest to you this evening that in our requests and in our prayers to God, when we ask for things, let it be that which is going to improve our heart, that which is going to improve the spiritual side of us, like we talked about this morning, our thinking and our mind. We live in an age that emphasizes the outward and the physical, and we know from such passages as 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to use our bodies to glorify God, and we certainly need to be healthy if we can. But ultimately, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, our outward man is decaying and perishing, but our inward man is renewed day by day. That's the side of us that is going to face God in judgment. Notice, first of all, this evening that what Solomon asked for, this wise and understanding heart, would be wisdom, spiritual wisdom and understanding that comes from God, that is going to give him a heart that is right with God. We know earlier in chapter 3 and verse 3 that as Solomon begins his reign, the text says, "Solomon loved Jehovah, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. There's just a little crack in his armor here that is going to be exploited later in his life, as we're going to see with regard to idolatry. But for the most part, he loved the Lord, and he's asking for something that is going to benefit the inward spiritual side of him. And so this evening, I want us to consider that. When we ask for things, regardless of what it is, be thinking about the big picture. How is this thing going to make me have a better heart, a better spiritual character on the inside as a Christian, like we talked about this morning? So much of today is focused on the outward body, the outward physical things. And again, like praying for our daily bread, we can pray for physical things. But ultimately, we want to have a right spiritual character in the sight of God. And whatever we are asking for, it needs to be molded and made with that in mind. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked life of the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern justice. Justice is a spiritual principle based upon God and his nature and his word. There are things that are just and right. There are things that are unjust and wrong. And this is the implication here, is that he's asking for things that would affect his heart to where he knows what is right and wrong. And we talked about that this morning, that that is so needed today in a mixed up world. Verse 12, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there hath been none like thee before this, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings likened unto thee all thy days. And then the condition: if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did, then I will strengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of Jehovah and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to his servants. We notice in the text the second area in which Solomon is affected, and that is that he asked for something that would become and that would make him very influential. In the text, God says that he would be given something so that there is none like thee before, neither after thee shall any arise and be likened unto thee. Look at chapter 4 and verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart. Here's the inward spiritual side of us. Even as the sand that is on the seashore, and Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, and so forth. His influence is vast. Also in chapter 10 and verse 23, after the matter of the Queen of Sheba coming to visit him. So what we learned this evening is that when we ask for things in our prayers, be asking for things that, and be mindful of things that are going to affect our influence. We need to ask for things that will make us influential. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And in Rogers or wherever we live, we need to be influential. We need to be living in such a way that we affect others. And he was going to be a great king affecting other people, many people. And we're going to see two women here in just a moment in chapter 3. He is going to be influential. And brethren, we need to be like that in our service to Christ. When Paul came to Thessalonica in Acts 17, he was described as someone who was turning the world upside down. And Peter and John, they beheld their boldness in Acts chapter 4, that they had been with Jesus. And they realized that they're just ignorant and unlearned men from a worldly standpoint, but they knew that they had been with Jesus. And young people, you are out and you have a great potential to influence others for good. Please use that. What Solomon asked for was going to become a part of his great influence. So when you pray each and every day and you're praying for things, be mindful of the fact that those things can be used to influence others to come to Christ. And the young people here this evening heard me say some things about social media and so forth. And I want to be very clear. Sometimes I forget to put the caveat in there. I get excited about what I'm saying. I don't want you to think that I believe that that is wrong. That actually can be a good thing that you use to influence others. We have a young man who graduated high school with us, and he's gone off to college, and he's probably around 21 now. He loves to use Facebook and other things to advertise gospel meetings and like the VBS this week and invite people to singings and extra youth Bible studies and things. Use your social media, use your phones in a good way to influence others for good. I'm not opposed to that. Use it in a good way. But he would become very influential. And brethren, when we pray to God, what did you have on your list, your one, two, or three things? Whatever that is, be thinking about, well, then when God gives me this, how can I be of great influence to others? Inviting people to the building here at the downtown congregation. Home Bible study, trying to set up a study and get them to Warren where he can talk with them if I don't feel comfortable doing that. Use my influence at work and at school and in my neighborhood. We find that in the case of Solomon. Look with me at chapter 3 and verse 16 as we move along. Then there came two women that were harlots under the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, so we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she lay upon it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid the dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had looked at it in the morning, behold, it was not my son whom I did bear." And the other woman said, "No, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son." And this they said, "No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. Now, who's telling the truth, in other words? Well, we know that Solomon is going to use his wisdom to decide this matter. So the king said, "The one saith, 'This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead.' And the other saith, 'No, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living.' And the king said, 'Fetch a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half the one and half to the other.' Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her heart yearned over her son. And she said, 'Oh, my Lord, give this other woman the living child, and in no wise slay it.' But the other said, 'It shall be neither mine nor thine, divide it.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice." The proper mother is found out. The one who said, "Oh, I don't want the child to be divided." Obviously, you don't want your own child to die. When Solomon made a request, it had a ramification, and that was he asked for something that would become something in him that allowed him to be judicial and bring people to the truth. And this word went out, verse 28, and they heard that the king had judged. Here's a third element in the life of Solomon, and that is that when we pray for things and when we ask for things, think about it from the standpoint of, when God gives me this, how can I then turn around and go to people and help them to see the truth of the matter? We're in a world like these two women, opposing voices, right? We're in a world in the same type of thing. We have opposing voices. We need Christians, like we talked about this morning, who will stand and give a clear judgment as to the truth of what is right and what is wrong. And so when we ask God for things, think about it from that standpoint. How can I then go out and help a confused and conflicted world to come to the truth of a matter? I said something this morning about transgender. It could be that. It could be a host of things. Isaiah chapter 5, today we live in a world like that of Isaiah, where people are saying that good is evil and evil is good. It's all turned upside down. But you and I, with the truth of God's word, can go out and help people who are confused and conflicted to come to the truth by the things that we ask for. What a great service we can give to those around us. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3 and chapter 4 and verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. If you're taking notes, you'll want to correct that on the PowerPoint. The fourth thing that we find with regard to Solomon is that what he asked for was meant to be very practical. Not theoretical, not hypothetical. Remember, the original request was, Lord, can you give me an understanding heart so that I can go out and serve the people? It was meant to be something that is going to help all of us in our daily living. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much in largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east and all the wisdom of the east. He was influential. Let's go out tomorrow and be influential in those who are around us. For he was wiser than all the men of Ethan the Ethrahite, and Haman and Calcol and Darda and the sons of Machol, and his fame was in all the nations round about. Now look at this. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of other things. Who wrote many of the proverbs? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, who wrote many of the Proverbs of Solomon? Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Who wrote Song of Solomon with regard to the proper love between a husband and a wife? Who wrote all of that? Solomon. What are the Proverbs? We could turn over there and we could read very practical kinds of things. How to use your tongue, your money, your work. Marriage is mentioned there. Sexual purity is mentioned there. Who to listen to, who not to. The worthy woman, the other woman of Proverbs chapter 7, the unworthy woman. There are all kinds of things. Parenting, raising children. I was invited a couple of weeks ago to speak on a Wednesday night. They were going through the book of Proverbs, different speakers. They assigned me the Proverbs on parenting, home and family. It's all practical, brethren. And I would encourage us to get back to reading the Proverbs. Just how to get up each day and act right. The wise way to act in all of these different areas of our life. Ecclesiastes, of course, focusing on a life without God is vain and empty. Song of Solomon, the beautiful love between a husband and wife. What Solomon ended up doing with this request was very practical. When we pray to God and ask for things, let's ask for things from the standpoint of how is this going to help me each and every day live right and be right? Not theoretical, not hypothetical, not just wandering in the area of theory, but how can I on a daily basis get up each day and believe and obey Christ and follow Him? I want to get the rubber where it meets the road. I want to get down to practical daily Christianity each and every day. Lord, can you give me things that will help me to do that? Turn with me to First Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. The young people this evening are learning a little bit about Solomon's temple. And that brings us to our next point, and that is that when Solomon asked for something, he asked for that which would be religious in nature, that which would help him with his religious service to God. 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent unto his servants, unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build a house for the name of Jehovah, his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until Jehovah put them under the soles of his feet. But now Jehovah, my God, hath given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I purpose to build a house for the name of Jehovah my God, as Jehovah spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build thy house for my name. And it goes on to talk about how that Hiram is going to help him. And so the next chapters, 6 and 7, all of the details about the building of the temple, and then the dedication and the great prayer of Solomon in chapter 8. What Solomon asked for helped him in his service, his religious service, and those of Israel to be able to come to a place and worship God in the temple. And this was not by accident. If you look at chapter 5 and verse 7, and it came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be Jehovah this day who hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. The wisdom of Solomon comes up again when we begin to build this temple. Verse 12, and Jehovah gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and they two made a league together. He's bringing his wisdom into the building of the temple. Can we do the same? Can we ask for things that are going to help us have a, as James says, a pure and undefiled religion? To come here and worship God in spirit and in truth, and to bring our family and to bring our spouses and to bring our loved ones. God, give me things that will help me to be a better religious person. We're in a very secular world. I'm hearing that during COVID and post-COVID, the church attendance, I'm told, has dropped below the 50% mark in America. Less than 50% of all Americans attend some church service. Now, that number that direction of going downward was headed that way before COVID. COVID didn't help it in any way. We have known for years that we are becoming more and more secular and more humanistic and more atheistic. That number was already headed that way before. Last year made it worse. But my point is, people do not want God in their lives. And again, another caveat, if I need to put that in there, and that is that I certainly understand the health of certain individuals, and they need to be mindful of that, and I am understanding of that and would support them in them being careful with their health and that type of thing as they judge that in a wise way. But just in a general sense, we need to be worshiping God. And that has dropped off in this country. We see unauthorized religion. We see no religion. We see all kinds of things in this country. And we need to be praying to God and asking God, Lord, give me things. And then I use those things to make me a person who's more religious in wanting to come worship God. In this case, the temple. Today, of course, in the Lord's church as we assemble together on the first day of the week and other times. Our nation is becoming less and less religious. Let me qualify that. You know, humanism is a religion. So in a sense, people are religious. They bow down to things. They worship things. But you know what I mean. They are less and less religious with regard to a proper service to God. But when we ask for things, let it make us more religious in our service to God, that pure and undefiled religion that James speaks of. Turn with me as we survey the life of Solomon in chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. Of course, you have the building of the temple that where Solomon used his wisdom to do that. And there's that great prayer that we don't even have time. I would love, maybe Warren can follow up in a future lesson on the great things that are said in that prayer of Solomon. I was just surveying that again, and that would make an excellent lesson of our attitude that we need to have when we come to worship God, and all of that is in 1 Kings 8. And then you come with me to 1 Kings 9 as well, and God gives a covenant to Solomon. Again, if we have time this evening, we will touch on that, where God says in chapter 9 that he needs to be obeying his word each and every day, and don't turn to the right hand or to the left of my word. Chapter 9, verses 6, 7, 8, long in there. And then we come to chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of Jehovah, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train and with camels that bear spices and very much gold and the precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the food on his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and the ascent by which he went up into the house of Jehovah, there was no more spirit in her. She's just taken back by all of this. She said to the king, "It was a true report that I had heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I had heard. Happy are thy men, happy are thy servants that stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be Jehovah thy God who delights in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because Jehovah loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do justice and righteousness." We spoke of that earlier. Let the requests that we make of God move us to be someone who is influential, where we talk with people and we show them the just and right way with God's word to live. And he was doing that all throughout the kingdom. And verse 10, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great in store, and precious stones. There came no more such an abundance of spices of these which the queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. Jump down to verse 13. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own land, she and her servants. There's another area that we find with regard to Solomon, and that is that he asked for something that would allow him to educate others. Here's this woman who is very educated herself. She would have to be a queen of an entire nation. But she comes and she's asking all of these questions, and Solomon is answering anything that she asked, and it's impressive. Probably be a little hard to stump Solomon. He would know the answer to your question. But what is he using this for, brethren? He's using it to educate others. And you see where I'm going with this now by this time in the lesson, how we've been making these points, and that is that when we ask for things, brethren, let it be that which would help us teach others. To teach our children and to teach our grandchildren, the next generation that is coming along. I appreciate the elders here and Warren's preaching and teaching, and we've got to pass it on, brethren. We've got to pass it on. There was a generation, Judges 2:10, that knew not God. How did that happen? While we're busy doing the things of this world, it slipped through the cracks, and there was a generation who knew not God. And I know you don't want that, and you're not wanting that. And the proof this week of it is the VBS and other things, the good things you do here at the downtown church. You're wanting to pass this on. So, Lord, give me things so that when people come to me and talk with me, I can educate them. And brethren, there are people that are still asking. We might have to find them. We might have to search for them. But in Rogers and other places, there are people who are asking questions. There are young people who are asking questions. And let our young people be the ones. Well, here's the answer. Here's the answer right here. Here's the answer. There are young people that are asking questions. So, Lord, give me things that are going to help me to educate others where I can answer their questions with the truth, not opinion, not what we think or feel or what society says, but with the truth of your word. And she's just taken back by that. Wow. And I will tell you this, young folks, I will tell you this. There may be some of that going on today. When you talk with someone, they may be like, wow, I wasn't expecting an answer like that. Just the other day, I spoke with a retired college professor who is with young people every day. He's a gospel preacher. He's gone back into full-time work. I just spoke with him a few days ago. He said on the college campus, when we as teachers of God's word have to bring up Bible matters and we're talking about different things, and the subject of homosexuality comes up, he said, Chris, I'm telling you, it's amazing. What happens is you bring up the subject of homosexuality and the room gets quiet. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know what to do. We're scared. We're afraid to speak up. And they just don't know. And he was talking about how that he tries to work with that kind of thing. Our young people need boldness. They need to speak up for the truth of God's word. And you have great minds. Our young people here, our college young folks, you have great minds and great talents, and you pray to God for things and use those things to educate people, because we live in a generation that knows not God. And Solomon was able to help her and many others. And then last of all, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 11. Unfortunately, as we know, the story of Solomon ends on a bad note. I was talking with Warren today at lunch, and I told him that the senior year of my high school, I wanted to be a band director. I really enjoyed all things band, and at one time I thought I'd like to do that. In 2005, I guess you can call it my midlife crisis or whatever, but I told my wife, I'm going to form a band, and I did. So I became a band director of about 30 or 40 adults. We call it community band. It was in the Nashville area, and directed that band for about 10 or 11 years before we moved. I love all things band. And when we would have concerts, I would always tell the band members, do your hardest not to end on a bad note. That's the part everybody remembers, you know? And if you don't know what the note is, just don't play it. If you're not sure. And the one that got him every time was, and I'm a fan of marches, like Sousa marches. What would get them every time was, sometimes a Sousa march ends on a downbeat, and sometimes it ends on an upbeat, and the band forgets which one it is. So you always have this thing where the song ends, and then there's beep, you know. Oh yeah, that was the other march that, you know. Solomon's life, we know, 1 Kings 11, we know that he ended on a bad note. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabitess, Ammonitess, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which Jehovah said unto the children of Israel, for example, Deuteronomy 7, you shall not go among them, neither shall you come among you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. God's word always comes true, and it came true in this case. Solomon clave unto these in love. By the way, at some point in relationship to writing Song of Solomon, where he said that a pure love was to be between one man and one woman. So how do we factor that in? And that's going to be our last point. He had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with Jehovah his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after the Asherah, these idols, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Malcolm, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and went not fully after Jehovah as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the mount that is before Jehovah. Wait a minute, I thought he had just built a temple to God. Yeah, he did. He did that. Now he's building an idol. What's going on here? And so he did for all his foreign wives who burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And Jehovah was angry with Solomon. A little bit different than back in chapter 3, right? So there's one last point that we want to make before we close this evening, and that is that Solomon asked for something that was spiritual, to change his heart, and it was supposed to be, at the end of the day, that which is practical, that which I'm going to apply to myself. Yes, I can write the book of Proverbs and help all kinds of people with that. Yes, when the Queen of Sheba comes, I can help her. But at the end of the day, I need to be following my own wisdom. I need to be practicing what I preach to others. And Solomon had forgotten that. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 1 and 2, he talks about his wealth and his wisdom and his works and women, and how that women can take me away from God. And now he's writing about it in Ecclesiastes, and now he's living it. He writes about being pulled away with those types of relationships in Proverbs 2 and 5 and 7 and 9. But now he's living it where he's being taken away from God.
So, brethren, the last point that I want us to be encouraged on is that when we ask God for things each and every day in prayer, and we always ask God for things, make sure that when we do that, we are thinking, when God gives me these things, I'm actually going to practice it today and put it into practice in my life and be a faithful Christian. I'm glad that I can help others with it. I'm glad that I can use this wisdom to educate others and influence others and help people know the difference between truth and error and make decisions between people that are conflicted and confused. And I can help all kinds of people. But at the end of the day, I am going to practice God's word as well. And go out each and every day. But Solomon didn't do that. He was supposed to walk in God's ways. There are different places where he was admonished, starting all the way back in chapter 2 with his father David. Then God did it in chapter 3 and chapter 6, chapter 9. Different times throughout his tenure, he's reminded to walk in my ways. And at the end of his life, that's the very thing he didn't do. So we always have to make sure that we're practicing what we preach to others. And Lord, help me to do that. What he asked for was supposed to be personal. And at the end of his life, he had forgotten that. Well, we're going to close in just a moment. If you'll turn with me to James chapter 4. Why is this topic important? Well, we need to know what to ask for. As I said earlier, the subject of prayer is very broad. There have been many good lessons brought on different aspects of prayer. And this evening, one of the key thoughts was, what do I pray for? Solomon didn't pray for riches and long life and his enemies to be punished. He prayed for something that was spiritual in nature, and he knew the right thing to pray for. And James tells us that that is very important. Whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. And there are some brethren and congregations that are at war, and that's unfortunate. But look at verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may spend it in your pleasures. Solomon didn't do that. He didn't ask amiss. He asked for the right thing. And we learn in him the type of thing to ask. And that is, Lord, give me wisdom. But we've learned this evening these areas of our life where there is going to be an effect. We want our spiritual lives to be affected. I didn't know what kind of time we would have. I want to just end on this note. Some of you may be familiar with the series of books, All the Blank in the Bible. I was looking through in preparation for this lesson because I thought we might have time to go in another direction, and that is list some things that Christians can ask for that we read about in the New Testament. We won't have time to do that, but for those of you who may be interested, you can still get this book. It's quite impressive. It's a series where this gentleman, there's several in the series, but he starts in Genesis and goes through Revelation. Any prayer that is ever mentioned, or anybody praying that is ever mentioned, he mentions that, and it's quite informative and makes a very good study. And when you go through that, you get help in knowing what to ask for. What did Moses pray for? He was known to pray for Israel on three different occasions so that they would not be killed by God. He was known for his intercession. What did the psalmist pray for? What did the prophets pray for? We can turn to Bible characters like these individuals in Solomon and learn, what do I need to be asking God for? We can come to the New Testament and we can find Jesus and other New Testament Christians and Paul praying. And we can see what they're making requests for, and we can do the same. So this particular book that is quite helpful, I believe, lists godly men and women who offered up prayers, and they teach us what to ask for today. But as we close, can we go out and focus on the spiritual, not the outward man that is decaying? Can we go out this evening and be more influential? Paul says in Philippians 2 and 15 that we're the light of the world, and we're to hold forth that light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world. Let's go out and use our influence this evening for good. And I know that we have the talent here, and we have the young people here, and we have the young Christians who are extremely influential. I was talking with some of them last evening, and I get excited about hearing that, I want to become such and such, and I want to do this job, and I want to do that job, and I think about how that they're going to go out and do that, and they're going to marry another young Christian, and they're going to have a Christian family, and I'm excited to see that and hear that. When we ask for things, let's use them to influence others for good. And we are in a world where we need to help people know justice and truth and righteousness. It's all turned upside down. But you can take the word of God and you can help people that are conflicted and confused. Let's be practical. When you read those Proverbs, 3,000, we don't even have recorded for us all the Proverbs of Solomon. But you turn over to the Proverbs, they are extremely helpful. How do I use my tongue? I need to get up and get busy. Jerry and I were talking a little bit on the way over. Jerry's quite a talker. He will visit with you. That's a good thing. So I've got somebody to talk to. We've been talking about all kinds of topics. Warren, the church, no. And we were talking about the importance of working hard. The Proverbs talk about the lazy person and all of the ramifications that come from that. Solomon was very practical. Let's be religious and better in our service to come worship God. Let's teach others. I run into educators from time to time in the Lord's church, teachers. That's a hard thing to do today. Public school is very difficult today. I commend brethren who are teaching in that environment. But we can also be educational in our teaching of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, we can take the word of God and pass it on to faithful men. The word there is anthropos, men and women. Timothy was to take Paul's word and pass it on to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. And that's extremely important. And let's make it personal. Let's go out and practice what we preach. Let's not end on a bad note. The other day, I was listening to some Baroque music on a YouTube video. And it was on my mind because I was studying this lesson on Solomon. And Handel, the Baroque composer, wrote a song called The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba. Well, that was on my mind because I was studying that for the lesson. And I'm listening to this beautiful song that I'd heard before. I really like it. But it was four German women who were professional saxophone players, and it was a saxophone quartet. And they played this beautiful Arrival of the Queen of Sheba. It lasted about 3.5 minutes. Professionals on a stage, very large crowd, and it came down to the very last note, and I kid you not, she couldn't get it out of her horn. And if you know anything about a reed instrument, like a clarinet or a saxophone, it gets all squeaky and squirrely sometimes, and that's all that came out. It was, and people didn't know how to handle that. I mean, this is a professional performance. It happens to the best of them. And it kind of just sort of killed the whole thing. People are like, well, do I clap? Do I not clap? I mean, what do I do? So we always want to end our life, whether Jesus coming again or when we pass from this life, we always want to end on a good note in faithful service to God. Thank you very much this evening.